to clarify from the outset, some folks might notice that you speak with a very halting manner, and there's a reason for that.
Yes, I went to a speech clinic about 15 years ago. They gave me a medication that backfired, and it gave me this speech impediment.
I guess just to give us a place to start, why run for governor?
Well, I came out of college as a young economist, went to work for my congressman at a time when the congressman represented the entire state in the 9-8 election concept. And I set up a program to recruit industries for the state, started recruiting industries for Alabama. Two Alabama governors recognized my work and invited me back to the state to be their chief administrative assistant. In that capacity, I set up the economic machinery to bring jobs to the state. And they worked very well for a period of 35 years. That machinery brought in over 350,000 good-paying jobs, both for Democratic and Republican administrations.
And you worked for Lurline Wallace and Albert Brewer, is that correct?
For Governor Lurline and for Albert Brewer. And then I worked in the transitions of six other governors shepherding this economic machinery. Those 350,000 jobs, most of which, I would say over 80%, went to low-income Alabamians, low-skilled workers that were mostly disadvantaged, out-of-work minorities in Alabama. And the machinery worked for both Democratic and Republican administrations until 2002, and it had increased our median household income from 62% of the national median household income in 1967 to 89% of the national median in 2002. When Governor Bob Riley came in, he came in with his program of austerity. And suddenly, we had a reversal of the economy. He started taking the machinery apart. And Alabama started going downhill, and that 89% had dropped to 78% by 2013 under Governors Bentley and Lieutenant Governor Ivey. They completely tore up that machinery, and it's never worked as well since.
What is this machinery that you say needs to be repaired?
Well, the parts were, we had an office in Washington. We had the Alabama Development Office, which Bentley completely abolished and Ivey was complicit in when she was sitting as Lieutenant Governor. They disconnected it from the Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs, they disassociated it from Alabama's 12 regional planning and economic development commissions and from the Appalachian Regional Local Development Districts. They also disemboweled the state's Office of International Trade. These together caused that downward turn in the economy and resulted in the wage rate declining. And for the last decade, we have had a state gross domestic product that has grown on average a less than 1% per year. That's depression level growth rates. Governor Ivey loves to tout the low unemployment rate, but that is a false indicator within the totality of economic statistics when we've got over 20% unemployment. And you look at statistics like 40% of the people in the state that have a debt in collections. It's like President Trump said that the unemployment rate is a, quote, horrendously false indicator.
So what you're describing is restructuring of offices and bringing back this particular office in Washington. What would that allow us to do that we can't do now?
Well, in 2002, referencing back to when Governor Bob Riley came into office, at that point, the state's budget was 49% federal funds. By 2014, our state's budget had dwindled to 37% federal funds, or a drop of 12%. If you do the math, that comes out to a loss of $1.75 billion per year in lost revenues. That's why we've had a ripple effect across all departments of state. For example, the state has closed the state parks. We've closed mental health hospitals. We've taken over $1 billion out of the education budget. 24% of our highway bridges are substandard. Our highways are full of potholes. Our roads have not been restriped in ages. I can go on from one department to another. For example, the highway patrolmen have declined from over 1,000 troopers strong to today of less than 250. The National Guard, which was our pride and joy with over 22,000 personnel strong, has declined to less than 12,000. We had before 45 armories that have been consolidated to 6. Before, we had 46 rural counties that took care of prenatal and postnatal care, OBGYN services in rural areas. today we have only sixteen in rural areas performing those services.
So what you're describing, it sounds to me like you're counting on more federal money to buttress Alabama's budget.
Exactly.
How can you be assured that that federal money would be coming through, given that the federal government is running increasing deficits and is under its own pressure?
Because the federal government in President Trump's budget has set aside $693 billion for federal grants and aid. We are a poor state. We also have 37 of our counties in the Appalachian Regional Commission that gives us priority for federal funds. And we are blessed with Richard Shelby rising to the chairmanship of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate. Now, that brings up the reason that I use the shibboleth of New Blue in my name and on the ballot, because the New Blue Democrats are willing to work and cooperate across the aisle with the Republicans and independents to further the interest of the people of this state. Richard Shelby and I were Boy Scouts together way back when, and I believe that we can cooperate together. I also was the number one volunteer for Doug Jones in his successful campaign for the Senate, and I think that we can get some support out of Washington to bring back that machinery and bring back those federal funds.
Well, in terms of education, you talk about Alabama's pre-K program, but you say you want to convert some of those classrooms to Montessori-style classrooms. Why?
Yes, because Dr. Maria Montessori tailored her program to get her children in the streets of Rome. I think that from my studies in graduate school, that program is tailor-made for some of our disadvantaged children. The basic premise of that program is to transfer the responsibility for a child's education to the child, him or herself. And I had two daughters who went through the Montessori program, and I'm a true believer in that.
If someone saw their neighborhood pre-K program converted into a Montessori-style program, and they didn't want that for their child, what options would they have?
Well, they wouldn't have to opt into it to accept that, because a parent has to participate with a child. It doesn't work if the parent doesn't participate with the child in the Montessori method.
Well, also under education, you've outlined a plan for two-year college students who study computer-related subject areas, auto manufacturing, and if families meet certain income requirements, they would get free tuition, or the state would cover their tuition and other expenses. Where would this money come from?
Yes. If you take our work development grants and add it to Pell Grants, the math comes out as enough to cover tuition and college expenses in our two-year technical colleges without costing the taxpayer an additional dime.
But if we take those workforce development grants and redirect it to this purpose, isn't that taking money from somewhere else?
Well, that's the purpose of those grants.
Who would be losing out then if we're taking that money from wherever the workforce development grants are going currently toward this new effort?
That's a win-win choice because you are developing your workforce. That's the purpose of those grants.
Well,
see, that's the purpose of the Washington office, is to monitor the appropriations committees and the Office of Management and Budget and to increase the amount of funds that we are getting. I also, on this point, agree with my colleague who's running for governor, Walt Maddox, that we should consolidate our four different agencies that are handling work development grants, and we can more efficiently use them in one office, in the AIDT office, and we can get those funds to go further.
Well, in terms of healthcare, the state of Alabama oftentimes doesn't do well on health indicators, be it infant mortality or obesity or you name it. What do you see the state doing to address that?
This is a Swiss watch of many moving parts. I think that you need to look at health care, mental health, and corrections all at the same time. I would use my executive order authority to set up a sub-authority of those three departments that use triage to determine individuals coming into corrections first, to determine if they should be going into our state prison system or into a revived Searcy Hospital at Mount Vernon.
This was a former mental health care facility.
Yes. Secondly, I believe that we should merge, even if on a temporary basis, the Department of Mental Health and Public Health, because public health has got the statewide structure and the personnel in place to reach our population, particularly our rural population, statewide. Simultaneously, I think that we should rebuild our National Guard using President Trump's military buildup and taking advantage of medical units to rebuild it, to fortify this effort of medical care supplemented by National Guard units and medical units taking full advantage of nurse practitioners and telemedicine and moving to the concept of skinny hospitals.
Skinny hospitals being?
Skinny hospitals or hospitals which intake and diagnose patients, then take those patients which can be treated at home, send them home, and treat them most intensively with nurse practitioners with the help of telemedicine, much on the concept that UAB with Baptist South in Montgomery and Mobile Infirmary in Mobile has been structuring. And under the guidance of those major hospitals, and I've left out the Huntsville hospital as major diagnostic hospitals using telemedicine to support these rural hospitals and to save our rural hospitals as skinny hospitals.
Well, I did want to ask about infrastructure because the state has many infrastructure needs, and the state government up to this point doesn't have all the money for what certainly some people believe the state needs. At the federal level, you've seen the current Congress unable to pass an infrastructure funding bill. How would you address that?
Well, first off, I think that we have sorely neglected our participation in the Appalachian Regional Commission. We forget that we are blessed to be one of the 13 states in the Appalachian Regional Commission. And as a part of the Appalachian Regional Commission, we get 80-20 participating federal funds, 80% federal funds, 20% state funds for infrastructure projects. We have the advantage of building developmental highways, which are highways that are like one half of an interstate highway. They are like interstate highways with the same access and egress and inclines and decline engineering standards. Like when I was running the Appalachian program in the state, we laid the basis for I-65 in Huntsville and I-759 that ran into Gadsden, and even here in Birmingham, I-22 that became the corridor from Birmingham to Memphis started off as a developmental highway. We need to utilize those Appalachian funds. For example, a developmental highway from Florence to Baldwin County would open up West Alabama.
You talk about those Appalachian development funds, but if I remember correctly, the funds for the Northern Beltline around Birmingham come from that source, the federal dollars. And that's a highway that's not projected to be built for several decades. That seems like a long time to be waiting for infrastructure needs that we feel are underdeveloped now.
Well, it's because the Alabama governors, since 2002, have not aggressively gone after those funds. When have you seen Governors Riley, Bentley, or Ivey up in Washington testifying before the Appropriations Committee saying, we need more funds? You haven't seen it. They haven't been there saying, give us the money. Well, and the same thing's true for our waterways. I think they have been foolish. Look at our state docks. They're talking about expanding the state docks in Mobile and digging a 50-foot channel. We need a 52.5-foot channel to accommodate these new super sized boats that are coming through the Panama Canal now. We're going to be left behind there. Do we need to connect the port of Mobile with Port Birmingham? If Port Birmingham had been alive and well, I think that Amazon would have come to Birmingham.
Well, Doug Newblue-Smith, I appreciate your time. Anything else you'd like to add I didn't ask?
Well, you didn't ask about my hat, it says.
Okay, well, tell me about your hat.
Make Alabama great again. So many Democratic crowds have been curious about this hat and wondered if it came from President Trump. No, it didn't. It came from an early journalist in our young republic, from a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville, who searched for America's greatness. He was a friend of Washington, Hamilton, Jefferson, and Adams, and he searched for the greatness of our young democracy. He looked in our farms and our barns and in our docks and our warehouses, and he couldn't find it. But then he looked in our churches, and he heard righteousness being blazed from our pulpits, and he said, there's where America's greatness is. It's in her goodness. And Alabama will be great again when she is good again. And she'll be good again when she gets rid of her corruption. And I have tried to do my part by refusing to take PAC funds. And my opponent, sad to say, have accepted PAC funds. And I think that PAC funds are part of the corruption cycle in Montgomery and throughout the state.